I'm Lightning Bolt. I'm not flash guarding anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
Lightning strikes thrice. The Lightning Bolt, Usain Bolt, has become the first man in history to win three consecutive 100-meter dash Olympic titles. And sporty Olympic greetings once again to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young. Welcome to a special Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The Jamaican star Bolt trailed 2004 Olympic champion Justin Gatlin of the USA through the first half of the race in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. But then Bolt's long strides quickly made up ground, and he won the gold in 9.81 seconds. Gatlin got the silver in 9.89 seconds, and Canada's André de Grasse won the bronze with a personal best of 9.91 seconds. The Lightning Bolt told reporters after the race he still has some work to do in Rio.
Somebody said, unstoppable. I'll be unstoppable or, no, immortal. That's the word they use. So, two more to go to sign off on immortal.
To sign off on immortality, Usain Bolt says he still needs to win two more gold medals in Rio in the 200 meters and in the 4x100-meter team relay. The Lightning Bolt said before the Rio Games he was looking to duplicate what he did at the 2008 Beijing Olympics and the 2012 London Olympics, that is, win the 100 meters, the 200 meters, and the 4x100-meter team relay. That would give him 9 career Olympic gold medals. Right now, Bolt has 7. He talks about his performance in the 100-meter dash in Rio.
I came out here to prove to the world that I'm the greatest, and that's what I did. And I'm proud of myself and the execution that I came out and did. I'm happy.
In Usain Bolt's homeland of Jamaica, his many fans were very happy to celebrate his third consecutive 100-meter Olympic title. Let's listen in now to the party atmosphere in the capital, Kingston.
Oh my God, the living legend proved himself once again. I feel so proud to be a Jamaican.
Usain Bolt! Usain Bolt! Usain Bolt! Usain Bolt! Usain Bolt!
Overwhelmed, overjoyed, Usain Bolt to the world!
I am extremely excited, elated, and happy. Usain Bolt is one of the greatest athletes of all time.
Of the great Usain Bolt to the world, the third and final time that he's going to do it, and he did it, the first person on earth to get 3 Olympics in a row.
Before Usain Bolt won Olympic gold in the 100 meters in Rio, history was made in the span of 43.03 seconds. That was the world record-setting time of South Africa's Wade van Niekerk in the men's 400 meters race. In winning gold, van Niekerk broke the record American Michael Johnson had held for 17 years. The 24-year-old athlete from Cape Town beat two former Olympic champions, 2012 gold medalist Karani James of Grenada and 2008 gold medalist LaShawn Merritt of the USA. James won the silver and Merritt won the bronze, but the spotlight was definitely on Wade Van Niekerk, who won the world 400-meter title last year in Beijing, China. Running in lane 8, a starting position not regarded as a good one at the Olympic level, Van Niekerk seized control of the race at the midway point, and he never let up. When he finished, he stared at the race clock, wiped his face, and fell to his knees, trying to process his world record performance. Van Niekerk's world record ascension at the Olympics began 3 years ago when he started working under a 74-year-old great-grandmother named Ans Botha. She's a renowned figure in South African track, and after her star pupil's world record performance in Rio, she's becoming well-known to a worldwide audience. Botha could be seen in the Rio stands smiling and cheering after Van Niekerk's world record Olympic run. Wade Van Niekerk and Usain Bolt are earning well-deserved headlines as the Rio Games head into their second week. During the first week, American swimming star Michael Phelps put on a performance that left many people searching for new descriptions for the most decorated Olympian of all time. VOA's Park Brewer wraps up the 8 days of swimming from Rio.
In the final event on the last night of swimming at the 2016 Summer Games, the 31-year-old Phelps capped off his incomparable Olympic career with a gold medal in the men's 4x100-meter medley relay. It gave him 5 golds and 1 silver medal in Rio and 23 career golds in his total of 28 Olympic medals. So could he change his mind about competing at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics?
This is it. I'm done. I couldn't be happier with how I finished my career, and there's no better way than finishing with a gold medal, that's for sure.
There's a good chance Phelps could now go into coaching. So with no Phelps, who might take over as the new face of American swimming? Most are betting on 19-year-old Katie Ledecky. At age 15, she surprisingly won the women's 800-meter freestyle at the 2012 London Olympics. Since then, her career has skyrocketed. The freestyle specialist won 4 gold medals and broke 2 world records at the 2013 World Championships, then did even better at the Worlds last year, winning 5 gold medals and breaking 3 world records. In Rio, Ledecky won 3 individual freestyle races and took gold and silver in the freestyle relays.
I've met all my goals, and I think, more importantly, I've had more fun than I could have ever imagined.
Ledecky is still an amateur and heads off soon for Stanford University in California to study and swim on her college team. Overall, the United States led all nations in the swim events in Rio with 16 golds and 33 total medals. Australia and Hungary were a distant second with 3 gold medals each. The Australians won 10 total medals. Hungary and Japan each had 7. 16 nations in all won Rio swimming medals, but host nation Brazil was shut out. History was made in the 100-meter butterfly, where Phelps won silver. 21-year-old Joseph Schooling touched the wall first, becoming the first-ever Olympic champion from Singapore. And the U.S. Olympic team also achieved a milestone on the final night of swimming. When the women's 4x100-meter relay team won the gold medal, it was the 1,000th gold medal all-time for Team USA at the Summer Games, dating back to the first modern Olympics in 1896. Park Brewer, VOA News, at the Rio Olympics.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
In Olympic tennis, Andy Murray of Britain became the first player in Olympic history with 2 singles gold medals, winning his 2nd in a row by beating Juan Martín Del Potro of Argentina in 4 sets. The final score from Rio, 7-5, 4-6, 6-2, and 7-5. At the 2012 London Olympics, Murray won a singles gold and a mixed double silver at the All England Club. That is, of course, where Andy also won his history-making Wimbledon Championship in 2013 when he ended a 77-year wait for a British man to lift the trophy. Andy Murray also won Wimbledon again last month. In the Olympic tennis women's singles final, Monica Puig won Puerto Rico's first-ever Olympic gold medal, upsetting Germany's Angelique Kerber in three sets, 6-4, 4-6, and 6-1. The 22-year-old Puig says she can still hardly believe she's an Olympic champion.
I just remembered not really believing that moment at all. That's why I said, oh, my God, so many times. I was like, did I really just win the Olympic gold medal? And the way I did it, I mean, the whole match was just unbelievable high-quality tennis, and it was just the moment of my life.
To earn the biggest moment of her life, Monica Puig used aggressive ground strokes to beat Kerber, and she blasted winners from all over the court. Monica Puig is also the first unseeded woman to win the Olympic singles gold medal.
Well, I knew what to expect. She was never going to give me anything easy, nothing for free. I had to really go out there and work and run and hustle from side to side, front, back, everywhere around the court. And I knew from the first moment the match started getting intense that I needed to give it my all. And I stayed there and I stayed focused and I did exactly what I needed to do.
That's Monica Puig of Puerto Rico, the 2016 Olympic tennis champion in women's singles. And Monica was speaking from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Taking a quick look at the other Olympic champions in tennis, Mark Lopez and Rafael Nadal of Spain won the gold medal in men's doubles. The Russian duo of Ekaterina Makarova and Elena Vesnina, they won the gold medal in women's doubles. And Americans Bethany Maddox-Sands and Jack Sock won the gold medal in mixed doubles. Jack and Bethany, if you're tuning in to the Sunny Side of Sports, here's a friendly reminder from President Obama.
Now go bring home the gold.
Joining us once again from Rio is our friend Luis Piazzet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. There is this beggar, one with a ruthless look, who used to move around near the same streets I often pass by. Sometimes I even twinkle to him and get back what I could describe as a smile. I spoke with him this weekend, just a few words, and heard a question I have not heard in the entire news headlines. What is more valuable, a gold medal or a life? On the same morning, from a tunnel that links the so-called upper media class of South Zone of Rio to Barra, where the Olympic Village was built, had a piece of concrete to fall from the ceiling onto the windshield of a car, almost killing a retired couple. The elderly injured behind the wheel drove to a hospital with his wife unconscious and bleeding. They were taken care of and will survive. Get the car fixed and overcome the experience. When the Olympics in Rio were announced, the tunnel started to be repaired from decades of worn out. During 2 years, the speed limit through it was up to 30 miles and it was spent $15 million with reinforcements. Further up on the same hill, another brand new tunnel was built to be a legacy of the Olympics, and it is currently also under repairing. The beautiful and greatness of sport, its advancement via technology and improvements in the human capacity, is the assuredness that the caveman absolutely made the right move to keep on seeking improvement. But it's still the question of the beggar up in the air. If we're able to isolate a sport from everything else, the Olympic Games in Rio has hit marks to let the humankind proud as never before. We have surpassed the record of the ancient Leonidas of Rhodes with Michael Phelps. We have the unbelievable and adorable Simone Biles with three golds. the unbeatable Usain Bolt.
I'm Lightning Bolt. I'm not Flash Gordon anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
We had Frank Stella's Puffed Star sculpture, Sean bigger than the 13 kilometers famous Guanabara Bay Bridge, competing the same Getty image with the remarkable Jemina Samgong, the first Kenyan to win the Women's Olympic Marathon this Sunday. On the same Sunday, we had the miracle of a gold medalist, Ryan Lotch, being robbed while going home to sleep after friend's anniversary celebration, and the robber left him with his cell phone and the valuable gold medal. The official reports from the police and from organizers of the Olympics are contradictory, but still, the beautiful of the Games has been protected somehow. The entertainment agenda of the organizers of the Games, dedicated exclusively to journalists at large, is another record in history, from free meals in fancy restaurants to all kinds of city tours. One thing in Rio will be hard to be surpassed, and perhaps deserve a gold medal, is the expertise in making a party. During this weekend, Rio Olympics organizers declared to have hopes of securing government money to cover large funding deficit in question by a Brazilian judge who ruled that the local organizing committee must provide public access and transparency to its financial accounts. Due to the shortage of money to honor commitments for the current Olympics, the Enterprise Rio 2016 and the IOC are discussing if the Paralympic can or cannot take place without funding from last-minute new sponsors, like Brazilian state companies. I am Luis Piazet for the Sony Side of Sports in Rio de Janeiro.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live. Anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
Luis Piazet mentioned the Paralympics at the end of his report. The Paralympics, a multi-sport event for athletes with disabilities, are scheduled from September 7th to September 18th in Rio de Janeiro. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with a two-time Paralympian in London. Here's Andy.
I'm with Martina Snopek. Martina has an interesting story. British now, she tells me, first few years of her life in Poland, has rowed in the Paralympics for Poland a couple of times, 2008, 2012, is now very much a British contender, competitor, and switching careers from rowing, Paralympic rowing, to wheelchairs. Well, first of all, Martina, how easy is that to go from rowing to wheelchairs?
It was a change, definitely. But I think it was a change for the better. I enjoy rowing a lot. I love being on the water. But wheelchair racing is much more developed sport, and there's races pretty much every weekend. There, I can do the sport on my own. I don't need any assistance. And there's so many people doing it that I can meet up with people for training, whereas with rowing it was different. I was on my own pretty much most of the time. And in terms of effort, I think that I am now much fitter and stronger than I was when I was rowing, just because there's so much variation of what can happen. There's hills, there's turns, there's roundabouts. It's just so much more to take into consideration.
Are you someone who does all the distances?
I would be quite happy to do short distances like today, the mile, for just a day out, essentially. But I prefer road races from 10K upwards. So I've done a lot of half marathons. I've done 3 marathons this year already, so I'm definitely more of a long distance person.
How does training at elite level fit in with the rest of your life? I mean, are you working, or do you get support, financial support from Britain and the UK Paralympic bodies to help you compete and train?
I train with Weir Archer Academy, so I train with David Weir and Jenny Archer, and they are very supportive. They help all the time. In terms of finance, I've got very supportive friends and family, so they help me a lot. I had the chair funded by Aspire and Wheelpower Charities. But in terms of funding, like a regular funding, I don't get anything because I just don't get the times. I used to work as a teacher, but I quit my job to go back to university. So this year I had quite a lot of time for training.
Now, in terms of Rio, have you qualified for the British team, or is it a case of looking ahead to the future beyond the Rio Olympics?
For me, it's the future. So I didn't qualify. And my goal for this year is to get a PB in Berlin Marathon in September. So,
well, Berlin, as I know from covering that race, it's a fast course, isn't it? So, is that, and I know it's fast for the wheelchairs as well.
Yeah, it's pretty much flat all the way. So I actually have my PB from Berlin from last year, but I really hope to improve that this year in September.
And you mentioned the Weir Academy set up by David Weir and his coach Jenny Archer. How important has that been for wheelchair competitors in this country in general?
I can only speak for Weir Archer Academy, so I think that what they're doing is just fantastic because they are very inclusive. And Jenny is a coach that doesn't distinguish between elite and novices, and she will just make people work. Until you hate her. But obviously that's the best way, because that's how we've got loads of teenagers taking part today at I think 3 o'clock, and I'm pretty much sure that they are going to smash it. So I know there's all the centres that where wheelchair athletes compete, but I feel like Weir Archer Academy also provides a community support spirit, and it's just, I think that I wouldn't have done as much wheelchair racing as I have if it hadn't been for Jenny Archer and David Weir.
Well, Martina Snowpack, we hope you continue to be inspired and even hate the tough training at the Weir Academy and elsewhere. Best of luck for the future beyond those Rio Paralympics, beyond that, and for future competition. Thank you very much, Martina.
Thank you very much.
And thanks also to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with two-time Paralympian Martina Snopek. In Olympic football, we're down to 4 teams in both the men's and women's tournaments in Brazil. Ladies first. The women's semifinals are Tuesday. Brazil will host Sweden, and Canada will go against Germany. And the men's semifinals are Wednesday. Brazil will host Honduras, and Nigeria will play Germany. While Brazil has the proudest pedigree of any team at the Senior World Cup level with a record 5 World Cup titles, surprisingly, Brazil has never won the gold medal in Olympic men's football. And that wraps up the August 15th Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Keith Holmes. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
One of the early and most significant changes made by the administration of President Barack Obama was the elevation of development as a key element of U.S. foreign policy on an even footing with diplomacy and defense. Among the top objectives of U.S. development policy was to achieve sustained and inclusive economic growth, democratic governance, game-changing innovations, leveraging new partners and multiple sources of development financing, and building sustainable systems to meet basic human needs. Instead of government going it alone, we've developed partnerships with multilateral organizations and civil society, and the private sector and faith communities, and most importantly, people on the ground. Instead of government just sending foreign aid, we're leveraging new sources of funding, committing and mobilizing more than $100 billion from the private sector and other partners to promote development and save lives. President Obama's signature development initiatives, such as Feed the Future and Power Africa, many of which build on programs begun by previous administrations, have marked tremendous successes, said President Obama.
We've saved over 60 million lives from measles and malaria and tuberculosis. We slashed HIV/AIDS infections and deaths. Across the developing world, incomes have gone up. Tens of millions of boys and girls are in school. Millions have gained access to clean energy, helping to mitigate the threat of climate change. In just the past 25 years, more than 1 billion people have been lifted out of extreme poverty. 1 billion.
U.S. investment in global development is a key element of our foreign policy, not just because it helps improve the lives of millions of people, but also because it is crucial to global stability and therefore our own security, said President Obama. We know there's a correlation between no education and no jobs, no hope, the violation of basic human dignity, and conflict and instability. So development isn't charity. It's one of the smartest investments we can make in our shared future, in our security and our prosperity.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Let's Talk. Obsession in a relationship. What does it do? Help or hurt the relationship? Join host Sandy Shomari and his guests discussing obsession in a relationship. This lighthearted show covers topics of your interest. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa. Next on Straight Talk Africa, Shaka Sali has an exclusive interview with Linda Thomas-Greenfield, U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, to discuss South Sudan, recent elections, and Boko Haram. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.